Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from Veg Growing Podcast, and this is my podcast dedicated to my story of growing food in my garden and allotment, based in Littlehampton in West Sussex on the south coast of the UK. This is episode 193. It's the 5th of November 2018, and this week we have a chat with Stephen Ticehurst, who's a listener and also a contributor. More on that later on, but before that we have the Garden Days calendar and what that suggests to do for this next week, which is about bulbs. And before that we have the diary, where I'll discuss what I've been doing over this last week. But before all of that, I've just got a few things I just want to thank people for. Firstly, last week's podcast, I got a lot of communication from that. A lot of people seemed to really enjoy that podcast, which I was quite pleased with, to say the least. The weed notice is obviously one of those things that happens, and that seems to strike a chord with many people. A lot of people offering help and advice, which I'm very, very grateful for. And a lot of people who have said that actually it makes them feel better about gardening themselves, which is exactly what I want. So thank you very much for that. The other thing I want to mention is I've been in communication with a lovely lady called Sarah. And Sarah runs the Roots and All podcast. And if you haven't heard her podcast, it's well worth listening to. She comes from a vegan angle, and I particularly like how she talks about vegan gardening, which is quite interesting. Interesting way. I've never heard of vegan gardening before until I've heard her podcast. So please check that out at Roots and All. And in the future, we will be doing some collaboration work in the very near future, I hope, as well. I've just got to organise to get over to her way. Of course, there is still collaboration going on. In fact, Lee, if you're listening, we need to get a date for our little chat that we're having on garden centres, so I must remember to email you about it. Anyway, more on that all coming up. Let's get on with the diary section. Okay, so today is Saturday, the 3rd of November 2018. Now, I haven't been down the allotment at all this week, except for Tuesday, where I did manage to pop down there just after work and just done a little bit of weeding and checked over everything and seeing what I could do at the weekend. The reason for that, and the reason why I haven't been down the allotment all week, is that by about 5 o'clock it's too dark to do anything, which is around the time I'm getting home. So it hasn't really been ideal gardening evening weather. But anyway, I went down the allotment today and I spent most of the day down there. It was an absolutely lovely day, to say the least. The sun was out, it was dry, it was actually quite warm. I admittedly have spent a lot of today prancing around my allotment like I'm performing at Wembley. I saw the new Queen film last night, Bohemian Rhapsody, and I'm a huge Queen fan anyway. But I went and saw that last night and it just gave me that kind of thrill, that kind of energy that you just get from, you know, watching a film or performing. But yeah, I really was dancing around my allotment and listening to Queen on this phone while I was working. But while I was working, one of the things I tackled today was my sweet potatoes. It was time to pull them up. So I basically the stems and the leaves on sweet potatoes go black when it's ready, when they're hit by a frost. So, and that has happened to them. So I dug those up and pulled them out. I thought this year was actually going to be pretty poor given how dry it is. Sweet potatoes, they love heat, but they need a lot of water at the same time. So I pulled them out and I weighed them. And there was three varieties. The Bonita was 1.2 kilos. No, 1.8 kilos, sorry. The Burgard was 1.2 kilos, but were much bigger roots. And the Bonita No, not Bonita, sorry. I've said that one already. The Burgundy, that's the ones. They were 800 grams. So they were the lowest in weight, but they were actually the biggest and easiest looking tubers to use. Also done a taste test, and the Bonita was actually the best tasting one, which is a white sweet potato. Now the taste test was actually cooked on the barbecue, just like roasting a jacket potato. And that was rather nice, actually. Anyway, after the sweet potatoes were lifted, I had very little else to do apart from a bit of weeding, or a bit more weeding. So I've cleared now most of the top half of my allotment. I've just got the edges to do. So I don't think the council are going to have anything to complain about. Okay, it's Sunday today, and I spent the morning at home today. I've tidied up my vegetable patch. I basically got rid now of all the plants I had in there, except for my Cape gooseberry plants, which are still performing well. I'm still getting a handful of fruit off them. And they're still in growth and they're still green. But all the others, the tomatoes, the cucumbers and everything, they were died back. Or they were dying back. So I've just uprooted those. And that has, of course, given the chickens a bit more room. I've also uprooted my pumpkin and butternut squash plants because they weren't. It was time for them to go. This meant harvesting my butternut squash, which I'm rather pleased with. It weighs in at a kilo. I'm rather pleased with that, to say the least. But yeah, after the veg patch was empty, I let the chickens roam around there to scratch around the ground and do what they do, really. It saves me hoeing the area. While I were doing that, I headed into my greenhouse. And in there, again, I had lots of tomato plants, and they were still growing. But the greenhouse, it just became so difficult to get in and out that I felt it just needed time to get rid of all the plants. And I also want to get my banana plant in there and other things like that that need a bit more protection over the winter. So it was time to basically clear them out, which is what I did. I just cleared all the tomato plants and everything out. The only things I've left in there that are still growing is two chili plants. Again, I'm hoping with a bit of protection they may get through the winter. I'm also thinking in the greenhouse of making that bit of a hotbed just to try and add a bit of heat into the greenhouse for free. So I'd be interested to see how that works out. Anyway, all the cuttings have been thrown onto the lawn, and my plan is to run over them with a lawnmower so they'll be composted down, which I've got to do. I haven't done that yet. But I did pop into my potting shed, my other little greenhouse, shall we say. For the new listeners, basically, my potting shed is a shed I inherited when I took on this house in my garden. And it's a self-built shed. It's got corrugated bottom around the bottom, corrugated iron. But the top half is made of plastic perspex, and it kind of doubles up as a small greenhouse slash shed. It's only 8 foot by 4 foot, so it's not particularly big, but it does its job. Anyway, this is generally where I start on my seeds, and if you listened a few weeks ago, you will remember I sowed some broad bean seeds and some pea seeds. Well, the broad beans have started to germinate, and that's expected. The peas. Now, I sowed 2 trays of peas. If you were listening back then, you will remember I said some that I was going to sow as a... Well, I soaked some overnight, and that was 1 tray, and the other tray was just sown straight into there as an experiment. So which do you think has started to germinate first? Well, I was quite surprised because I thought it would be the soaked, but no, it's the ones that wasn't soaked that have germinated first. So that's kind of an experiment, interesting result of this experiment so far. But we'll be returning to this more over the next few weeks as the rest germinate, and we'll move on and see how they grow and perform in a garden, of course. So it's Monday, the 5th of November today, and I was going to talk about my weekly harvest report in just a second, but before that, I actually received an email today from the council, and my first thought was, oh God, this is going to be about the weed notice. Well, it wasn't. Love the council. They sent me the email for the invoice and change of rules for the next year. So I don't know whether that means my weed notice is null and void now or what, but they're asking me to pay for the next year. That's fine. It's going to cost me £70, which I don't think is bad value. But they've also changed rules, which I kind of found a bit interesting when I went through the change of rules. First one is no bonfires or incinerators. I kind of get that, but I still think that's a bit backwards. The second rule, and this is one I find really silly, we are only allowed two water butts up to 250 litres per plot. Given how dry it has been over this last year, I think that is a stupid thing to do. They do supply us with water, but I would have thought it's in their interest for allotmenteers to save as much water as they can. It'll cost them less to run, so I don't understand that at all. And the third rule, and this is another one I don't quite see the point of, is there's only allowed to be one shed per allotment site. Well, my sheds are on different allotments, effectively, so I think I'll be okay. But my neighbours, who are quite old, they've got two or three small sheds on one plot, so they effectively have got to get rid of them, and I don't think that's fair at all. I don't think that's right. It's not like they take up a huge space or anything. Anyway, that's my little kind of rant over with about that. And the weekly harvest report came out last night. Now, it was kind of interesting. Now, the chicken eggs, they came out 14, perfectly fine with that. The sweet potatoes that I harvested on Saturday, I was really pleased with the amount that I got. And then when I was doing the harvest report and I worked out how much they were worth, well, I was a little disappointed, to be honest. It was just under £4. So I felt, despite it looking a huge amount, I thought the sweet potatoes would be worth more. But now they're down for £1 a kilo, they're not that valuable. And what that means is that I paid, I think, £16 for the slips. So in that case, I'm worse off. They weren't very profitable at all. Given how dry this year is, as I said earlier, that could be the reason. But I don't know. I'll be growing them again next year. I still enjoy growing them and they're tasty. What else did I have? I had the butternut squash and the last of the tomatoes. So, yeah, that is really everything in the weekly harvest report. It came up to, I can't remember the value off the top of my head now, but it was a pretty low result, but pretty average. Okay, so this is kind of wrapping up the diary now. I'm going to go and have a look at the Garden Days calendar. Well, this week in the Garden Days calendar, being Monday the 5th of November and Bonfire Night, well, it doesn't actually make any mention of Bonfire Night. Instead, it says, check pots and bowls of bulbs to make sure that the compost hasn't dried out and bring them into the light once the growing tips have reached 3 centimetres. Place the bowls on a cool windowsill for a few weeks before potting them into their final flowering positions around the house. Yeah, don't really have much to say about that, really. I'm certainly at the moment trying to move some of my more tender plants into the greenhouse, as I said in the diary. These are things like my banana tree, my peach, just to afford them a bit of protection over the winter months. My house plants, or things like that that I do move outside in the summer, they've all came indoors a few weeks ago, and these are things like my ginger, my turmeric, and they're doing a lot better. They're doing well. So I'll bring on the wonderful Stephen Ticehurst next. Now, Stephen is a member of the VegGrow podcast group on Facebook. He's contributed quite a few times, and he also lives quite locally to me, so I was eager to meet up with him and record a podcast. And I have to say, I had a lovely afternoon just sat on his allotment with a cup of tea, chatting around about allotment tiering and various things like that. Well, today I'm on a listener's allotment. I'm very, very pleased to be here. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hello, Richard. Thanks for coming along.
You're very, very welcome. So just for the listeners at home, or listening, they could be in their car, to be honest, a bit about your background.
Yeah, so I guess always been sort of not so much growing stuff myself, but I've grown up in Norfolk countryside. Parents, grandparents have grown, had gardens, and actually my general day job is nothing like gardening and nature. So growing up with it all, I didn't quite like it, but actually now I'm grown up, I'm starting to think actually I quite like it. So for years I've always tried to do stuff in the garden. I've had allotments before. I've tried to have a whole plan of being self-sufficient and the sort of good life, failed many times on it. So now I just thought, well, let's get another allotment. Let's just get away from everyday life, get away from computers, get away from offices, get away from the weekly work, come out on the South Downs up here and just look at a great view, do a bit of gardening, have something to eat maybe at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, for the listener at home, we were actually sat on Stephen's allotment, which is on the South Downs. It's in the grounds of an old manor in Lancing. Would that be right, an old manor?
Yeah, I think there was one down there, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I saw the remains earlier, and I know there's an ice house or something around here. To the south, we can see the south coast, the sea, the English Channel, with the wind farm out at sea. To which is that? That's the east, the Shoreham Airport. So this is just such a relaxing place to come and chill out.
Even today, when the weather, it's not the nicest, there's a little bit of sun over there. It's a little bit cold, but actually, I could sit here for quite a few hours, and as we have been doing, talking.
yeah, we've had a good natter and wander around your allotment. So let's just discuss a bit about your allotment, because it's full of life at the moment.
Yeah, I think it helps that it's so tiny. I think it must be the world's thinnest allotment at about 4 metres wide. It's only half a plot, so that's fair enough. But I have just tried to cram as much as I can do. There's nothing, there's no paths, there's no grass. It's all soil, just to try and get every little bit out of this sort of limited space. I think we were saying earlier that allotment plots, you tend to think of a lot of space, and we haven't been tripping over each other today, but we've had to sort of go round one after the other because you can't get too many people on here without it being a bit busy. So with so many things growing, it does still look busy. I guess once we start pulling up some of these turnips, it will start looking a little bit empty.
Yeah, I mean, you say it's tiny. It's, 4 metres by, I'm guessing, 15 metres. So it's thin, but fairly long. I would say it's probably about a quarter of the size of my allotment, but then I'm greedy. So even so, I mean, what we've got here is quite a few raspberries, which are still fruiting. What's that, six Brussels sprouts?
Yeah, maybe too many there. But yeah, there's a good little patch of sprouts there.
We've got a couple of really good looking kale plants, some blackcurrant and whitecurrant bushes, as well as quite a few leeks, marigolds, lettuces, turnips, swede, potatoes, gooseberries, rhubarb. This just goes on with what is actually growing here.
We cleared the weeds out the other side of those gooseberries, and we got that beet leaf right at the end there, which I always forget is there. I just hoped it would come up, and it did, just because we didn't have anywhere else to put it. I see it as a large garden rather than an allotment, I think.
That's actually a very good way of looking at it, certainly. One thing that because I've never seen salsify before, and I was quite intrigued to see that growing here. What's your experience with salsify?
Well, I've never heard of it before until I'm pretty sure we got the seeds on a magazine free, and I thought, well, let's just give it a go. I looked it up. It seemed to be sort of hairy parsnips is what the pictures are sort of showing. So we started it off there. We're all in here. We haven't done anything apart from direct sowed them in. We thinned them out, and when we left them, nothing has eaten them. You know, no need for any slug pellets or covering or anything. We've dug one of them up, and it was quite a job to get that first one up. I had to dig quite deep down. And it was just a very thin parsnip, very hairy. Now, people say they taste a bit like oysters, and I've never tasted an oyster, but it didn't taste unpleasant. But they took a lot of prepping when it came to cooking. So you peel them with a potato peeler. You stick them in some water pretty quickly because they go brown within seconds. But we roasted it up, and yeah, it wasn't unpleasant. Would I do it again? Probably not. As I say, they haven't caused me any trouble growing. They've taken a long time to grow, which is fantastic. You know, they're something in the ground. But actually, the eating experience, I just don't think it was worth it for me. So we still have a row. We dig them up. But the reason why there's so many still here is because I'm preparing myself to sort of get the fork and really dig them and get them out of the ground.
I think you described it earlier as a lot of faff.
I think I probably did, yeah.
One of the first things I spotted here, and I pointed this out earlier, was you've got some sort of beans. And this is, what is it, November the 3rd?
Yeah.
Beginning of November. Yeah. How the hell has that happened?
If only I knew. I can only guess they're French beans. And we had French beans in a bed nearby during the summer, but they've all gone now because, you know, they're obviously finished. It was only about 2 or 3 weeks ago I thought, well, is that a weed coming up here? And I thought, well, it looks like a bean. And so I just left it. And I can only think they must be French beans, but I don't know what they're doing there, how they're growing. but I'll leave them, and I don't know. I don't suppose anything will really come out of it, but they seem quite happy.
Yeah, I mean, these beans, they were 6 inches tall, I suppose, two leaves on them, but they are in a really good-looking condition. I doubt they're going to come to anything, but it's worth seeing what happens. So please keep us posted on that.
Yeah, well, I definitely will. You know, the funny thing is, it was broad beans here, so I did think it was maybe, you know, broad bean plants, but they're definitely not broad beans. And if we had French beans nearby, then maybe, yeah, but maybe right over there. So I just don't know how these little small plants have turned up, but yeah, they seem happy.
Now, you spoke to me earlier, and I think we've spoken before about square foot gardening, and And you were going to share your views on Squarefoot Garden, because I've not had a very good experience with it.
Well, I think probably likewise. And you know, I think we probably kept it going for two or three years. And I think actually we really gave it up, partly because cats kept digging it all up. But also, it needs a lot of planning. And actually, that's what I liked about it. We didn't have an allotment. We had a garden. And I liked the idea of small space, get as much as you can out of that small space. And that works really well. You can plan ahead, you can do things on spreadsheets if you like, or in notebooks, but you have to be really on the ball and say, okay, well, I planted turnips in this square in X number of weeks' time. I know those turnips will be gone, so now I'm going to put in some more carrots, because I know the other squares that did have carrots will be, you know, coming to an end. So it's, I think if you're really organized, you can just keep going week after week, going from square to square, making sure every single thing has something going on. You've never got a square just laying there. And that's really, you know, I like organizing things. So I that's probably why I liked it. But once you've done it for a while, it almost felt like a full-time job, and almost felt like my job at times. So as I say, the cats were sort of digging it up, and you know, once you get that happening, you sort of tend to think, well, you know what, you know, maybe I won't carry on. And also, the produce you were getting was always small, for obvious reasons, because you were putting a lot into a small space. And you know, the carrots were you know, tiny. Turnips and things were tiny, tasted, you know, really sweet and nice, but yeah, you were having to pick a lot to put on the table. So a lot of high maintenance, not a great deal come back, I think. But if you like that month after month long term, then absolutely fantastic. And if you've got a small space, you know, in just like a garden or a city or town garden, then I think there's some good concepts. Whether you do it exactly per book is probably not. And I think that's like all the things. And we were talking about no dig earlier on, and you know, how I was sort of skeptical and stuff like that. Again, yeah, you know, bits of no dig here, other bits aren't. I don't follow word by word. I've just adapted to what happens. And I think the same with square foot. If you do it per book, then it might not suit how you want to work. But if you just change it to how it sort of fits around yourself, then yeah, I think you'll get stuff out. But I like coming up here with a cup of tea, going around with a hoe, and that suits me at the moment. That time I liked organizing square feet and you know, making sure each square had something going on.
So you mentioned your skepticism with no dig, and I'm a big fan of no dig. However, I do understand people's skepticism. Where did your skepticism come from?
Well, I think it's like I was saying, and you quickly pointed out that I just, when I first started reading about it, I thought it was people's excuses for just not digging and being a bit lazy. And actually, I really like digging, you know, for whatever reason. You know, I just like digging things. So I thought, well, no, I'm happy to dig. But actually, I can understand the more you disturb the soil, you know, the more weeds come up, you know, everything gets affected if you just keep covering it over and over. So it's not so much that you're not digging, although you are not digging, it's just that you're treating the ground different. You're really sort of looking after the ground. So maybe no dig gardening is the wrong name for it. You know, no dig is what is part of it, but it's not really, you know, the main, I don't think it should be the main selling point, because I'm pretty sure there are people saying they do no dig, and it's because they don't like digging.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, because it, when they say it's lazy, if you try humping a bin full of horse manure, it's not lazy, and you've got to do several of them. It's really not lazy.
No, too right. And you know, as you can see now, Richard, you know, a lot of this is no dig, and I have been humping up bags of manure, and I haven't dug over this whole area we're looking at over here. It is just laid up with some bits have got cardboard down here with manure on top. And so I'm quite bought into it now. But I think, you know, to go back to a history of the site, it was all overgrown in grass. And so I covered it over with plastic for, you know, 4 months or so, pulled it back and dug it. If I was doing it again, I might cover it over with cardboard and go straight into it that way and put the manure on top. I don't know if I'll get enough cardboard there.
There must be an industrial estate around here that can probably give you cardboard. In fact, I know there is industrial estates. So yeah. Businesses are only too happy to get rid of the stuff, so it's well worth asking. What's been your favourite vegetable to grow?
Onions and garlic. I've always had good success with onions, and maybe everyone does, because, you know, you put them in the ground, you leave them, hopefully, you know, what's to go wrong. Garlic I've never ever grown before, and actually they're quite special in a way, because we got this plot last December and it was all overgrown, but we did dig one bit out and the first thing we planted was garlic. And it was the first thing really that we probably dug back out again. I can't quite remember what we dug, but, you know, that's it. So it sort of started the allotment off here. And again, we put it in, we didn't touch it for 6 months. We pulled it out and we're still using it now. And it's just fantastic. You know, you don't have to do anything. And yet we use it in cooking constantly. So this year, I haven't planted any yet, and I know everyone is busy planting garlic now. I think, Richard, you've planted garlic. I did it on the 21st of December last year, which is shortest day. I pulled it up on the longest day. It worked for me, so I'm doing exactly the same again this year. But we're going to do a lot more this year, and probably the same for onions as well. So yeah, I've been happy with those two things. No fuss, just stick them in. But I think they're such a success because in cooking we use onions a lot, so fantastic. We use garlic a lot, so there are two things that we've really sort of gained from that, and carrots, which again, carrots, we've had a bit of a struggle, but now, you know, we're starting to live off of carrots.
Yeah, I'm just slightly jealous of your carrots, I have to admit. It's been a disaster for me this year with carrots, I've mentioned many, many times. What has been your biggest learning curve, though?
Probably anything to do with brassicas, I think. So we've got our kale, which looks good now, but we had a huge problem with caterpillars. So I was coming up every other day just pulling what seemed like hundreds of caterpillars off. Just because I wasn't prepared for the onslaught of caterpillars, I guess. But that's paid off, and actually they've survived, and you know, we're eating a lot of that at the moment. But then we look at the sprouts, which are just a disaster zone in my eyes, which are just covered in whitefly. And I think you were saying it's just like bits of ash sort of coming off. And you know, I had them covered over. So I'm not too sure what has happened to that, but there are things I've never tried to grow before because I've never really had success, or I've never had space, I guess. So the learning curve is make sure they're covered, also make sure you keep sort of at it. So the caterpillars on that kale, you know, I purposely made it my aim in life to win. And so I was pulling hundreds off, and there came a time when suddenly they started to thrive, and I thought, yeah, I must have won that battle with those caterpillars now. And yes, you know, I was only picking a few off after that, and that was a really good sort of feeling, and yeah, the learning curve of just keep at it, I think, and just make sure you cover it.
Would you say that's your biggest tip then, just to keep at it?
Well, I think so. Keep at it and don't stress about it, really. The whole purpose of gardening or gardening on allotments, I'm not trying to feed a family for 12 months. So I'm not, you know, if something fails, when I go to the supermarket and I buy something, So it is just go with what happens. You know, the sprouts just haven't worked out here. Maybe they might do in a few months' time. You never know. But I'm not worried about it at all, because actually I come up here to have a nice sort of view, get away from everyday life. The fact that I take food home some visits is a bit of a bonus, I sort of think. So just don't stress, just keep going. Try things out, you know, things you've not, you know, the vegetables that I've never grown before. Just see what happens. Turnips, which I don't particularly like eating, I thought I'd just see how, you know, how well they'd grow, and they've grown really well. And I've found ways to cook them that take the taste away a bit.
Great stuff. I believe you have a blog. Can you just share with everyone what that's about and your address for that, please?
Yeah, of course I do, yes, which I'd forgotten about, actually. because it's not so much a blog. It's it is a blog, obviously, and it has got a web address, but it's more of just a diary of what I've been doing. And I had an allotment back in 2000, 2001, and I used to write what I'd done each time, and I found those files on the computer, and it was really interesting to see, you know, what was working, what wasn't working. Didn't go into any great detail, just said, you know, I went up and I planted these things. So times have changed now, and, you know, you can write blogs a lot easier. So I thought, well, I'll just carry that on, but I'll put it on the blog instead. So I do that to remind myself what I've done, and also take pictures of how the plot has changed over a year and the month. So yeah, I think the web address, and I'll have to double check this later on, is possibly sunflower.mulville.co.uk. I'll double check that.
I think you're correct there, because I do obviously do my research beforehand. So, but I'll add the link in the blog post anyway for this podcast.
Yeah, fantastic. And as I say, I quite like writing, and I suppose journaling, I guess, just writing the journal. So as I say, you know, you can do everything online now, and it's just nice to think, well, actually, I'm writing it for me to read back and to see how things are gone. But if anyone else wants to find it and just read what's going on, then absolutely fantastic. You know, why not share things that have worked? Why not share things that have not worked as well, which I think is equally important. You know, not trying to suggest everything I do on the plot is working, because believe me, it's not. And so because I'm writing things for myself, you know, I'm saying, look, this is really a disaster. You know, the sprouts have gone really wrong. Here's a picture of it all. I suppose in the back of my head, I hope someone might see it and say, oh, no, this is what's happened. So, you know, it's just nice now that you can sort of share all this sort of stuff. And I think I found that when I read my old journals from, you know, 2000, 2001, it was just so interesting going back and just sort of reading about it, looking at the old pictures. So.
Great stuff. Well, I think we'll wrap this interview up. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thank you for having me on your allotment, and all the best.
Yeah, thanks for coming along. It's been a cold afternoon, but the sun is sort of, as it sets here, it's coming out, and it's been quite a pleasant afternoon, really.
Beautiful at the moment. What a lovely guy Stephen is, eh? It was so nice just spending an afternoon sat on his allotment, drinking tea, chatting and comparing notes. It was really, really lovely way to spend an afternoon. And much love and thank you, Stephen, for allowing me to take part in that. Now, of course, if anyone else there would like me to visit their allotment and do something similar, I'm more than happy to, if I can, of course. But I'd like it. I really did enjoy this sort of thing. And I think it's important to get other allotmenteers' opinions and experiences across who aren't in the mainstream gardening world, shall we say. People like myself who are amateurs, who are hobbyists, I want to hear these sort of things and share these experiences. It's really, really cool. But yes, that we've had the diary section, we've had the calendar section, we've had the interview, The only thing I've realised I haven't done, but I will email the person, is the group winner who's going to get some seeds, but I will email you and get your address, whoever it is. So apologies, I'm not doing that. I've got a bit of a headache now, so I want to get off. But yes, much love to everyone taking a part. I'm going to wrap up. Don't forget to check out Roots and All. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please feel free to leave a review on your podcast app. I've had a really lovely one from Walton Heath, who left me over this last week. 5-star review with a really lovely comment, and I really appreciate that. Not just because it helps with the ratings and everything. I mean, that is quite an important thing, but also on a personal level, for me, it's very encouraging to hear this sort of feedback. Yeah, I'm being a bit self-indulgent, I know, but it is important. Anyway, I'm going to wrap up. So thank you very much for listening. If you want to find out more, check out my website, theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. If you want to get in touch, it's richard@theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. And of course, we've got the Facebook page, the Instagram, and all other social media, as well as the group. But for now, please take care, and I'll see you all again next time.